At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs, to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town." The 72 returned rejoicing and said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." Jesus said, "I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There are certain saints that God has shown his light through in a very particular way that not only every Catholic loves, every Christian loves, but it seems that every person in the world loves them. Mother Teresa comes to mind immediately. I think the saint that is so universally loved by everyone is St. Francis of Assisi, an incredibly holy man who started off just a very normal life. In his day and age, he was going off to battle, as many young men did. He got sick and was able to go there. So he returned home, and he was doing his job for his father, being a merchant, doing just normal businessman stuff. So one day the Lord called him and gave him a mission, saying, "Francis, rebuild my church." Francis took that to mean rebuild the nearby church that was falling apart. He started repairing it, putting stonework down, until he began to realize he was called to more, to rebuild God's church, the Catholic Church, that was falling apart. And by that, by the mission God gave him, he started the Franciscan order that has done such amazing work building the kingdom of God. But that mission is secondary. There's something even greater in Francis's life, and something people love about him far more. Francis of Assisi was a man of utter joy. He was known as the joker, the jester of God, because he had such a deep relationship with the Lord. He's known for a particular prayer of his where he cried out to God, asking God, "God, who are you and who am I? God, who are you and who am I?" That pierced the heart of Francis, longing just to know, "God, who are you? And in that light, who am I?" And from this, I want to share something we received in seminary many, many times, as a way of looking at our lives that Francis entered so deeply. In seminary, we're taught an acronym, R-I-M, RIM, for relationship, identity, mission. That is what God has asked of us And if we enter into this, we have the joy that Francis had. First of all, relationship. Francis's utter joy came because he lived in such deep intimacy, such deep relationship with God. He spent whole nights in prayer, just constantly wanting to be with the Lord. He knew he was so loved by God, and he was in awe of that, that he cried out, "God, who are you to love me like this?" Precisely from that relationship came his identity. Relationship gave him his identity. He knew that God was so good, and that God looked at him. God died for him. God called him his son, and that gave him his very identity. Instead of looking for his identity in feats of war as a soldier, instead of looking for his identity in money as a merchant, he found his identity as being a son of God. And that gave him such conviction, such confidence. And then from that identity, gave him all he needed to go on his mission. Francis was not anxious to rebuild the church, something far bigger than him. He simply lived in relationship with God, embraced his identity as a son of God, and he knew he had all he needed to go out and live this mission to rebuild God's church. In our gospel today, Jesus gave the 72 disciples a crazy mission to go out and prepare these towns for Jesus. And they came back. We can imagine what they must have been like. The 36 pairs, the 72 disciples come back rejoicing, like, "Lord, it was incredible. We cast out demons, we healed people." And you can see Jesus smiling, like a good coach or a good dad, just happy to see them doing such good work, as they were just happy, like, "Lord, we did this, it was awesome." Jesus rejoiced for them, but he wanted to order things back in the right order. Jesus didn't scold them, saying, "Go back to relationship," but he said, before rejoicing in them, before that, Jesus just said, "Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Even more, they can cast out spirits." He orders it back to relationship, then identity, and then mission. Because our Lord knows the danger that we get into all too often, of flipping the three. If we get so excited with mission, we forget our identity, and we forget about having a relationship with God. If Francis simply went, "I have such a task, I can't possibly do all this," he'd lose his identity as a son of God, and he'd lose his relationship with the Lord. The Lord gently put him back in order, saying, "Your relationship with God, that your name is written in heaven, is what gives you your foundation to go out on mission." We sometimes think we have to do enough on mission, to be enough in our identity so that we can be loved in our relationship. No, the Lord already loves us. We already have that relationship. And that gives us our identity, so we are free to go out on mission. Just like our Lord, a priest I know, when he was a young priest, went on a retreat with high schoolers and was so excited about the good that happened in the Lord's life. He came back to the pastor and wanted to share all that happened. And the pastor wisely didn't cut him off, but just said first, "Tell me how the Lord loved you on this retreat." And the priest had to reorder his heart to recognize that God wanted him to be in a relationship with him there, and then could rejoice in all that he had done on that mission. Lastly, if relationship, identity, and mission gives us the lens of our life, that we were made to love God with everything in that kind of relationship, and from that, know our identity and then be on a mission, what does that look like? Relationship looks like 10 to 15 minutes of prayer every day. We're back in ordinary time, the green's back on. That does not mean ordinary, normal. No, it just means we are growing. And as plants need water and sunlight more than they need any surgery, anything fancy, our relationship with God just looks like prayer, 10 to 15 minutes, day in, day out. If we don't give God that 10 to 15 minutes every day, that's kind of falling out of that relationship, telling God, "I don't want relationship today." It's a simple thing. It doesn't have to be fancy. Just talking to God, praying with your Bible, praying the rosary, whatever works best. But that simple 10 to 15 minutes of relationship with God every day, that right there is the water, the sunlight that lets us grow. That right there, the crying out to God, God, who are you and who am I? That right there is all we need to go on our mission that God has given us.